Okay, good morning. Today we're going to be talking about Shemitah. In particular, we're going to be talking about seven different disagreements that there were, machlokes in the Torah about Shemitah, all that are important or relevant. By its nature, this is going to be a kitzur, which is to say is that every one of these seven that I'm talking about is give or take, each one of them was its own shear back leshmita when we give shomer machmita. So each, by its nature means I'm going to then, each of these is just going to be a kitzur of each of those points, try to cover the main points. So it's also also taking advantage of the slides that were made from them and use slides that were made last time around, or some of them at least, or repurpose them for today. Okay, so we're going to talk about the goal here is to talk about these seven topics I see on the screen. For those of you just listening by audio, you'll get that also. Anyhow, so there are going to be seven topics we're going to talk about. Hopefully we'll do all seven, if time permits. If time does not, then we'll just do some and do the rest a different time. Okay, and the first one we're going to talk about is borders of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and that is to say is that for hundreds of years, basically, there were few or no Yidden living in Eretz Yisrael. And all the borders and all the cities and all the, everything that we identify of Eretz Yisrael, which things are or not Eretz Yisrael, got lost and forgotten. No one really knew where things were. And of course, the Dinim of Shemitah only apply in Eretz Yisrael. And so it became a question of where are all these places, and to be able to make determinations. So there were a lot of different people have written svarim about it. A very important one was a sefer called Kafta Verach, from printed in the 1300s. And one of the points that he didn't only write about borders, but many things about Eretz Yisrael. And one of the things that he said was that it's appropriate for a person to rely on the names that the Arabs living in Eretz Yisrael called the place as a way of identifying which the places that Chazal and the Torah speak about. So, for example, we all think that there's a place we all see in the Gemara, a place called Syria, and we just assume that that has, give or take, that's the same thing as the country that we know as Syria, the modern-day country of Syria. You know, give or take, it's the same thing. So he did similar ideas, and he said, for example, there's a place called Cheshbon, in the Torah speaks about a place called Cheshbon, and he said that's the same thing. The Arab village called Cheshbon is really Cheshbon. It's the same place. Okay, so that was his give. A lot of his identification came about through that. Not only through that, but that's a certain amount he relied on the names that the Arabs used in for different places. Chazanesh was not such a believer in that, and he said, "I'll read." He says, "Yef shalis machal Hashem." He says, "Because things change. Behem shachazman nerzu v'chazun v'shashru. You know, cities get destroyed and rebuilt. Upa'al the netguim klamim rishon. Sometimes they move from one place to another. They just, you know, they move to a new place and they called it, so to speak, like the people from York. People from York came to the New World and they called it New York. You know, so they moved to a new place. Upa'al the shana hashemis, or a name that was originally got a new name. So the Chazanish says, no, you can't rely on names. There's really not a way of identifying places in Eretz Yisrael." And if you follow that as it is, straight what Chazanish says, then you'll only be able to identify borders of Eretz Yisrael by the most extreme items, like things on the other side of the Jordan. You'll say those are not even considered from the Oyla Bavel, because it's obvious what that is. But Me'evar Yard, you know, it's very obvious what that is. But then, you should know, even though the Chazanish said that, there's another sefer called Mishnah Seyosef, and he said, the Chazanish didn't mean as extreme as it seems. Chazanish didn't mean we should completely ignore names. He says is that we can't use the names to pinpoint something specific. Like the Gemara says, there are special dim about a place called Beishan in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, we can't say exactly where is Beishan, to say that Beishan is over here and not over here, because it moves, you know, it can move this way 10 miles or 5 miles this way, it can move something like that. He says, but He says, but overall, on a rough idea, of course, he says, "Can you lay my view of this Be'er Sheva, Mishab, Betarim, and Tzavim?" They didn't move, Be'er Sheva, we all know, is in the south part of the country. They didn't move it to the north and call a new place like that. So, you know, so for give us a rough idea, he said, even the Chazanish would have agreed to such thing like that. Not everybody agrees to what Mishnah Yosef says. Not everybody agrees that that's even what Chazanish meant. And so some people are taking a more conservative view of what Chazanish said and say that you can't identify anything based on Arab names. Completely ignore that. Now, that for one part of it, which is about using Arab names. But then came along Chaim Kineski, and he said, I'm gonna use hints in Chazal, all different types of really creative ways of looking at things from the way Chazal identified, said things about topographical things, and where things are, and what's next to them, and what they look like, and all kinds of things like that, to figure out. And he created a map based on that, of what he thought the borders of Eretz Yisrael were. He brought that to his father-in-law, Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv said, it's quite impressive, and he said, you know, it's really something. He managed to pull together a map based on all this kind of information without using anything based on Arab names, etc. But Rabbi Yashiv said, no, even so, we're still not sure, and you shouldn't be mako based on any of these kind of things that you said. So in short, for this part of our discussion, lots of effort went into trying to figure out what the borders of Eretz Yisrael are. But there are some people who feel confident now, I know where certain borders are, but by no means is there agreement on all these kinds of things like that. Now, a particular issue about borders has to do with the southern border of Eretz Yisrael. And that is, what you see on the screen now, for those of you watching like that, on the left side, you see, on the left side is Reb Chaim Kineski's drawing of the map of Eretz Yisrael. On the right side is from Mishnah Yosef. And what you see, the yellow dots that you see are to identify two spots. The Torah tells us that the southeastern border of Eretz Yisrael is at the eastern side of the Yam HaMelech, Dead Sea. The southwestern border has something called Nachal Mitzrayim, which is assumed to mean a place called Wadi El Arish. So those are the yellow dots you see on those two maps identify the east and west, give or take what the east and western, southeast and southwestern borders are. Thank you for giving me a live audience. That's what the yellow dots are. And the Torah tells us there are five spots in between those yellow dots. Between those yellow spots, there are five other parts of the border. And you see in these two maps, again, the left is Chaim Kineski and the right is something called Mishnah Yosef. Give or take, they think it's the same thing. Okay, the one on the right shows you two versions of how the five places should be, and the left one tells you his way of looking at it. Okay, but give or take, we know that the endpoints, the east and the west endpoints, and give or take, we know what the middle points are. So that means is basically whoever thinks it like that agrees of what the southern border of Eretz Yisrael should be. However, the other people say, look at this map. They say that the Rambam, in a completely different context, it's in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, it has nothing to do with Shemitah, mentions in passing something about the 30th degree of latitude, and he's talking about how under the 30th degree of latitude is out of Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't say over it is Eretz Yisrael. He says under it is out of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, there are some people who say is the only border we can be certain of that's not Eretz Yisrael is the 30th degree latitude, which, as you see on the map, for those of you watching in the map, it's way down, almost near Eilat. And there's a whole area in the picture, it's orange, the space between what's basically the border of what everybody assumes is really the border of Eretz Yisrael versus what this 30th degree latitude is. Okay, it's about 40 miles of what's called the Northern Arava. It's this huge area that some people say we should be machmir and treated like Eretz Yisrael because of the base in this deed in Rama, which is it's a questionable deal whether it really means that, but how significant that should be. And so some people are machmir even all the way down till there. No one's machmir all the way down to Eilat, but some people machmir all the way very far down to say that those things should be considered like Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now to our second topic. Okay, greenhouses. Okay, now it's like this. One of the ways that farmers in Eretz Yisrael grow vegetables for Shemitah. They do it all the time. They're very innovative in this way. But one of the ways, in particular for Shemitah, is they use special greenhouses in order to grow produce. What's the thinking? That somehow someone growing in a greenhouse will excuse them from all the halachas of Shemitah. They won't have to worry about the din of Shemitah. So there's two angles to that, two reasons, two parts to why it might be mutter. And one is it's called we call it an Atzus Shem Nakav, and one is Ozer Rehav Abayas, which I'm going to explain. something like an Atzus Shem Nakav means a flower pot that's not has no hole in it, and midaraisa, an Atzus Shem Nakav is not considered attached to the ground. For all dinim, it's not considered attached to the ground. Midrabanan, in most dinim, it is considered attached to the ground, but midaraisa is not considered part of the ground. So, if you, now, there's all kinds of dinim, how you have to make yourself to be an Atzus Shem Nakav. What qualifies? What does the Atzus have to be? The flower pot have to be made out of? What is, you can't have leaves hanging over, all kinds of rules like that. What's the floor underneath the Atzus made out of? But, for Shemitah, there are greenhouses that will do whatever they have to do, like put down layers of plastic, all kinds of different things that they do to make it that they should qualify as an Atzus Shem Nakav. When they use that, if they're basing someone on that, I don't think I'm doing completely. Someone is basing partially on the fact that it's Atzus Shem Nakav. They may mark their product as being what's called a matzah menutak, which means a disconnected bed. Disconnected, it's like separated from the ground. It's like, this didn't grow in Eretz Yisrael. It grew in a piece of in a space station. It grew not in Eretz Yisrael. It's just growing in this greenhouse. Now that's only half the story, because the other part is what's called zerei b'bayis. That is that there's a Yerushalmi that's mesutta about what happens if you grow something in a house. So every rabbi, you plant something indoors, if you have the din of Shemitah for that thing, and there's a machlokes nachronim what the din is. The Yerushalmi is mesupik about it. So Rav Avraham Yosef says, look, Shemitah nowadays is drabana. Yerushalmi is mesupik about what the din is in this case. So we could be mako and say Zerei Abayis. If you plant something indoors, like a greenhouse that's indoors, you're planting something indoors, so it's mutter.
And what concept is advice? And you know, what concept is advice exactly?
What do you think it depends on?
Does it need a roof? Does it not need a roof? Can I use it to suppress it and have myself a bias like that?
That's fine. I'll say the word is negotiable. What I mean is, whatever you want it to be, I can build my greenhouse to match your requirements. You know what I mean? So if that's what it's going to take, then that's what I'll do. I'll take what it has to do. So Ravadi says the Yerushalmi is specific about it. Safjab on the kula, Shemitah is the rabban. Now they say we make up. The Chazan said no, we should not be. Can't be make up.
What's the pshat? Why should Zerei B'Bayis? Do we find other hilchos? Does it apply to all hilchos? Do we find such a thing that
I don't
first
remember.
First I've ever heard there's such a thing that you know you can. Somebody that's obviously mechubal karka, and nobody says it's
correct.
Be toilish.
Correct. That's the point.
Right. So it's mechubal karka. Where does this come from?
I don't remember. I don't remember. You missed what I said at the beginning. It is just a kitzush. I don't remember what it said last time. I'll have to go look it up. I don't remember. Okay. So Chazanish says, no, you shouldn't be mekel based on that. And Chazanish says, I want to tell you something. He says, if it was Zerei B'Bayis and Atzus Shem Nakav, you get both of these things together, so getting an extra drop on another being Atzus Shem Nakav, he says, I wouldn't be mekel. He says, but if someone is mekel, then you shouldn't be mekel. That's a reasonable position if you be Atzus Shem Nakav and Zerei B'Bayis at the same time. Again, Atzus Shem Nakav is automatically a drabbana. And Zerei B'Bayis, which is a suffering Yerushalmi, he says, then you shouldn't be mekel if someone protects. However, the Chazir is not finished. He says, that whole shaila of the Yerushalmi, Zerei B'Bayis, is only talking about the case where planting in the house is detrimental to the growth. It's the normal thing is, if you plant something indoors, it's not going to grow as well as you grow it outdoors. Right? That's not normal. Normally, if you want to grow potatoes, you don't grow them inside. They don't grow as well as in the sunshine and all the things like that. He says, but if you do it in a way, you grow it indoors, bedafka, because you think that's going to make it grow better, and it's going to grow really wonderfully because it's indoors, then you're completely missing the point. There's a rare advice, you're missing the point. And if you say it like that, if you take that as is, that you take that literally to mean like that, then growing in a greenhouse is not going to do any good. Because a greenhouse, the point of the greenhouse is to make it grow really well. Okay, like in our map from before, in the Arava, it's a desert. Okay, things don't grow at all outside. You grow it indoors. Oh my gosh, you could grow wonderfully in the greenhouse. It's a very controlled environment. So in Cain, it could be that this idea that make the Chazon Ish said Zerei B'Bayis together with Atzus Shem Nakav would be, you shouldn't be mulch against that. He said, but maybe this is not Zerei B'Bayis altogether. They may not qualify altogether. So in this, I'm going to tell you four sheets about how to take what this Chazon Ish just said. Okay. Rav Avadya says it's not true. He just doesn't buy it. He says, don't do it. Rishami says, you're a bias. That's what it depends on. He says, I don't care if it goes better or worse. His Rebbe bias is the Safak Yushami could be Mekala. Opposite extreme, and Dain Wise says, 100% of the Chazan said, if you plant it indoors, you plant it in a greenhouse, which is meant to grow better, that's not Zareba bias, and therefore it doesn't help you one bit nowadays. Okay? Dain Fisher wasn't in between. He says, the Chazan is right. It's true that to be Zareba bias, it has to be worse. He says, but it is worse. He says, Lamaisa, you know, greenhouses do have all kinds of good things, but the food doesn't come out tasting as good as it does when it grows outdoors in a natural environment. He says, so even though the Chazon Ish is right in theory, that if you use a rare bias in a way to make it better, that would not work, he says, this doesn't qualify. This is a real Zareya Babayas because it doesn't taste as good. And, well, last one, Rabbi Sternbach says, I would agree with the Machmirim over here, that you should talk up be Machmir and assume that this is not Zareya Babayas. He says, but if it's going to mean, let's say it comes tomorrow, and instead you're going to eat produce that has bugs in it, because remember, the other reason why they grow greenhouses, another reason they grow greenhouses is to avoid bugs. He says you're going to be eating with bugs in it. He says you're better off eating, being samuch on this and getting from the greenhouse and not having your bugs, which is potentially issa d'oraisa, rather than worrying about this shilas of drabonans of shmita. Okay. Right. Next topic. Number three. Mishuma b'neva. Okay. Which is like this. If vegetables grow during Shemitah, they're asur. Makes no difference whether anybody did anything with them. There's a din called Tzvichin, which means that any vegetables that grow during Shemitah, are automatically asur mitarabanan, because Chazal were concerned that people would plant things. They planted peppers, and therefore they would empty it. They'd say, it just grew by itself. So all Tzvichin are asur mitarabanan. But that's only true for vegetables. Things that don't get planted every year, like fruits that don't get replanted, those are mutter. Those don't have an Isra Sichon on them. So what happens, but if a fruit grew, an apple grew, on a field of someone who didn't keep the halachas of Shemitah. He worked his land. He was Nevan. He worked his land. He did malacha on the land during Shemitah. Or as Meshumar, he didn't make it Hefker. Okay, what's the din if you have produce that was fruits? Again, vegetables are automatically Isra because they're Sichon. So it's for fruits. What happens if you have a fruit that was Mishum of Nevad, it was someone did malacha on that ground, or someone guarded the ground. I mean, they didn't let people in and make it happen. Okay, so some Rishonim hold that makes it usher. The food becomes usher as a result of that. But many other Rishonim disagree, and the modern day Paiskim, the Ramosha and the Chashlema and Tzitz Eliezer say that it's mutter and the food is mutter, which is to say is. He did the wrong thing. He shouldn't have worked on his land on Shemitah. He should have let people take it and consider it hefker. But if he did it, and he's a bad boy, but we're allowed to eat the fruit anyhow. Okay? There's a question what the Chazon Ish says. It's not so clear which way the Chazon Ish held on this din of Mishum v'Nevad. And assuming you follow the Mekilim, either like the names I told you before, or you think the Chazon Ish is Mekel, then we have to, the fruit has Kedusha Shviyas, but it's mutter, it's not Osir, and you're allowed to eat it. Okay, so that sounds like good news. Okay, so but there's an extra wrinkle over here, and that is like this. Before I go on to my wrinkle, okay, if I would see I walk into the store and I see an orange, and that orange grew in Israel, and it's a Shemitah orange, and I say, probably the person didn't keep the halachas of Shemitah, that's okay, but the fruit is mutter, I'm allowed to eat it. I just have to know that it has Kedusha Shemitah, of course, but I'm allowed to eat it. But there is a wrinkle, and the wrinkle is like this. The Kedusha Shemitah has all kinds of rules of what I have to do with fruit that has kedusha to them. I can't waste them. I can't use them for the wrong purposes. I can't export them. Things like that. Now, there's another thing, and that is that when you buy or you trade shmita produce for something else, kedusha goes on to that other thing also. So if I go to the store and I buy the orange for a dollar, well, that dollar now has Kedusha Shviyas, and the orange does. The original Shemitah produce always keeps its Kedusha Shviyas. If I put it onto a dollar, it has a dollar also. And the Rambam gives this whole dramatic description. If I go to many things, I don't remember his example, so I go from apple to meat, and meat to tomatoes, and tomatoes to money. Each thing, what happens is that the original produce has Kedusha Shviyas, and the last thing in the chain has Kedusha Shviyas also. Okay? So So back to our simple case, I walk into the store and I give a dollar. I go to the farmer, I give him a dollar, and he gives me the orange. So then the orange, of course, has kedusha shiras, as does the dollar. So the Gemara says,
kedusha shiras can go on other foods.
Yes, it goes on other things that are not shiras things.
They're not shiras.
I mean, they're nothing compared to shiras.
Subject to the same hilchos shiras.
Right, has the same hilchos shiras.
It can be wasted.
Right, so the Gemara says this.
You have chickens, kedusha shiras.
Right, so you can't be moisher demay shiras lamaretz. You can't go ahead and buy produce from a person who's not going to keep the halachas of shemitah, because you're going to do what you have to do with the orange. But the guy who has the money, he's not going to use that properly. Okay, so that person is not going to use it properly, and therefore, so you need to know if it's mishum of neved, not because your produce is usher. You need to know it because when you can't buy it from that person, because when you buy it from him, you're giving him money that he's not going to keep with. He doesn't keep any halachas of shemitah. He worked in his land with shemitah. I'm coming to that. Sorry to say. Okay, now it happens to be that Shlomo Zalman has a very interesting chiddush. I'm not going to talk about it. Chiddush about het mechira. If the person grew based on het mechira, that maybe that this doesn't apply to that kind of person. Maybe, but the ways to avoid it, like you were trying to say, the ways to avoid this problem of giving the dmei shviyas lamaretz is either you buy it b'havla, you buy it with other things. So if you buy the oranges together with a potato that wasn't kedusha shviyas or whatever else, then that money does not have kedusha shviyas, or bat kafa on credit. So credit means if I use a credit card, that's for sure on credit. Some people say that checks are also count as credit. There are ways to get around the problem, you know, so to avoid the kedusha shviyas, giving the kedusha shviyas money to somebody who's not supposed to have it. That's a possibility. Okay, but it's just something to bear in mind. So we're being most on makel about Meshumah V'Nevet in general, but there's just other angle of Meshumah V'Nevet comes in that Mela, that person has this problem. Okay.
So this applies, you know, the CC oranges of Israel in some store.
Correct.
Undoubtedly, it'll be Meshumah V'Nevet, and can you buy it, or, you know...
That's correct.
Buy it?
That's correct. That's exactly, that's what I'm talking to. Okay. Number four. Yevul Nachri. And that's like this. If a non-Jewish person owns land in Eretz Yisrael, everybody agrees that land does not have an Isser Svichin. I'm sorry, not the land. The vegetables that grow on that land do not have an Isser Svichin. Everyone agrees to that. So the tomatoes that grow there don't have an Isser Svichin, so at least they're mutter. You're allowed to eat them. Okay? Now, there was a big machlokes about whether there's kedusha shviyas on that produce. Okay, it doesn't have the Isser Svichin, but it grew in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so the Beis Yosef is mekel. The Beis Yosef said that it's mutter. Once if it belongs to a goy, it doesn't have any kedusha shviyas either. And most Yidden in Eretz Yisrael follow that psak of the Beis Yosef, that the yevul machri, something that grew the produce of a non-Jewish field, is doesn't have kedusha shviyas. The Mavet and the Beis Yosef exchange letters. They lived at the same time. He was machmer on that, and he said that it's not svichim, but it does have kedusha shviyas. L'maizik and shemitah has kedusha shviyas, and the Chazanish held like that also. The Chazanish held like this mabit, said you should pass like this mabit, that yevul nachri has kedusha shviyas to it. Okay, in Eretz Yisrael, they're into disclosure. So in Eretz Yisrael, you see in the picture, people will they'll mark something as yevul nachri, okay? This food is kosher, but it's yevul nachri. So, which is to say is that if you live in Bnei Brak or you follow the Chazanish and hold that yevul nachri has kedusha shviyas, so it's not svichin, you're allowed to eat it, but you have to treat it with kedusha shviyas. You have to treat it properly, which are all kinds of dingim that apply to it. Okay.
And you have the same problem with giving you money.
If it has kedusha shviyas, kedusha shviyas. But here, no one did anything wrong. here, the person who grew it, he was a guy, he's allowed to buy it.
But the supermarket,
right, if you're giving it to money to the owner of the supermarket, then he won't treat it properly, potentially. Now, again, if he holds that it doesn't have kedusha shviyas, he's good. That's a separate thing, which is, that I was like hinting at from beforehand. If the person you're giving it to doesn't treat it, hold it as kedusha shviyas, then you don't have a problem dealing with him. You know? Okay, now, according, just some, I'm getting ahead of myself, just to tell you that, according to the Mabit, that Yevul Machri has kedusha shviyas, you essentially have undermined any possibility of het mechira, which we're going to talk about. But because the het mechira is sell it to a guy. Okay, now it belongs to a guy. Now we're like free. We can do whatever we want to. No, not exactly. According to my bed, you can't do whatever you want to. The produce is going to have Kedusha Shvius, which has all kinds of restrictions on it, which is going to sort of crimp your idea, which is what you were trying to do, which is you're trying to get around Shemitah. So if you want to hold one of the things, if you want to hold of the Het Bechira, is you're going to have to hold of like the Bishas. Okay. Okay, so what I'm going to do something. Okay, we're not going to be able to do, because the fifth and the sixth are quite long. So what I'm going to do is, for today, I'm going to skip to the seventh, which is short. And next time we'll do the sixth and seventh. Okay, I had a feeling this was going to happen. Fifth and sixth are pretty long. So we're going to skip to the seventh. Okay? And as it is. Now, the seventh one, well, you can see, I'll put it back on screen if you feel like you know what you're doing. And that is about, like this. One of the dinim of things that have Kedusha Shvius, things that are from Shemitah, have two dinim I'm going to mention that are relevant to us right now. One is that things that are Shemitah produce can't be exported. Can't send them out of Eretz Yisrael. Second is that the din is if something is Kedusha Shvius, then there's a mitzvah of biur, which is to say is at a certain point, when there's none left out in the public, none out for people to take out in the fields, then you have to, any that you have in your house, you have to make it hefker and make it available for people to take. You can't hoard it at that point. Before, you can take as much as you want to. Comes the time of beer, you have to put it outside and make it available to anybody else. You can only take a little bit at a time. Okay? So, what happened is, it's assumed. I didn't tell you what an Oitze Bezdin is. It would have been on the pages, but anyhow, it's something called Oitze Bezdin, where Bezdin collects the hefka produce and gives it out to people.
In practice, it's not people have to see the fields open, anybody. Oh, gee, let's go to the guy's field and pay everything. It doesn't work that way, right?
Yes, it does. In hefka fields? Yeah, people keep Shemitah in the fields of hefka. You walk and take what you want to.
Is that true?
If you keep Shemitah, that's what you do. If you keep Shemitah, then people can come in.
Yeah, in an orchard, in other words. There's an orchard.
Right.
An orchard with real trees and real fruits. Anybody, hey, gee, let's go, just take whatever we want. That's what happens?
That's what Shemitah is. That's what happens
in Shemitah.
Otherwise, Oitze Bezdin,
you get around that.
No, so Oitze Bezdin, we weren't going to talk about it, I'll tell you, but Oitze Bezdin is usually, in modern day, the fields where the trees are out in the middle of no place. They're nowhere near where the people live. So it's not realistic for people to get it. If they wanted it, they could walk in and take it. Not so realistic for people to get it. So Oitze Bezdin is, it comes from a disefta, that what you do is, the community arranges for someone to get all that stuff from the hefker field and bring it to the city, to where people can get to it. So you're really not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to harvest things with big combines and harvesting equipment. That's one of the things that Kedusha Shvius, you're not allowed to do that. But Bezdin can do that. Bezdin meaning the community arranges for somebody to bring it to them. Because instead of every guy schlepping out to the farm, say one guy out to the farm to get all the apples and bring them to town, and then we can all take their apples. Okay, that's Oitze Bezdin. So if the produce is hefker, but the Bezdin, Oitze Bezdin means that we all designated somebody to do that for us, okay, to get it for us. So in Oitze Bezdin, Oitze Bezdin means the if you have a warehouse with all those apples in it, that warehouse is really available to the public. That's what they're doing. They're just putting it into the warehouse until they bring it to town so everyone can have it. So most assume that something that's in Oitze Bezdin does not need a formal beer. You don't have to make it hefker when the time of beer comes, because it's in a state of hefker. It's in a state of, we're here to give it to everybody. The person, the warehouse that's full of it is not one person holding on to a lot of produce. It's the community is just keeping it in one place until we have a chance to give it out to everybody. So it's assumed that Oitze Bezdin does not need beer. Okay, the mitzvah of beer sort of has been accomplished when we have an Oitze Bezdin because the
and the beer would start, the amount of beer would be if it's all harvested, then there's nothing left, right?
Correct. But now comes the day. Let's say for wine, which is the case we're going to talk about in a second, the amount of beer is Pesach of the 8th year. So come Pesach of the 8th year, there's no more grapes out in the field, okay, but there's wine, there's bottles and bottles of wine in this warehouse. But that's considered as if it had its beer, because it's there for everybody. So it had beer, it's so to speak, had beer.
I'm a little incredulous. You tell me the warehouse is not locked, the door's open, I walk in,
Okay.
Excuse me, where are you going?
No. The warehouse is natural because we're not talking about Oitze Bezdin today. But the reason is that the Bezdin is allowed to collect money for certain things, like for the bottle and for the guy who trucked it in and for the renting the warehouse. So you can't take it for nothing because they want money for those things. The wine itself is hefker. But all the other parts of it, there are other parts of that less
charged. So actually, you want to pack and say this beer here.
Yes, that's true. But that's assumed. It's assumed that this is the easy part of it. It's assumed that there's a beer happening. Okay. But now, there's machlokes like this. The Rash says that once the beer is done, it has to do with how to learn a Mishnah. Okay, so the Rash says once someone did beer, forget about Eitz Besen. If someone did beer to a fruit, that fruit no longer has kedusha shvias. It's the end of shmita for that fruit. That's how I said to you, grapes come shmita Pesach of the eighth year. Once you did your beer, you put them outside. There's no more kedusha shvias then. It's over. Shmita's over for these grapes. Party's over. So that's the Rash holds. So if you have wine from an Eitzer Besen, this is a real case. Well, I'm telling you this case because it's a real happens. If you have wine from an Eitzer Besen, so beer happened. Come the right day, beer happened. Came Pesach, the beer happened because I told you it's automatic that the beer happens. And then the day afterwards, it has no kedusha shvias anymore because we've done our beer. Beer was done. Once beer happens, the Rash says there's no more kedusha shvias. Okay, so the people who give hashgacha to this specific wine that we're talking about, they take that position. That there's no more kedusha shvias anymore, so they then that wine is then exported and sold in stores to people who don't care about shmita. I mean, they sell it in plain old supermarkets. You can't sell shmita produce in a supermarket where people will buy it and not treat it properly. That would be irresponsible. And you couldn't export it because you're not allowed to export shmita kedusha shvias produce. But they say it doesn't have kedusha shvias anymore. We already did beer, and the bottle says on it. The beer was not done properly. It's from Eitzer Besen. The beer was done properly. And that's to explain to you, that's why you're seeing in the supermarket in America. Because we hold that the beer was done, so don't worry about that. And since the beer was done, therefore there's no kedusha shvias, so we're allowed to sell it in chutzot, and we're allowed to sell it to people who don't care about shmita, and you yourself don't have to treat it with kedusha shvias. That's the position they're taking. It's a very reasonable position. That's the truth. Tosfos argues on the Rash, and he has a different shot in the Mishnah, and the Yerushalmi there also, and he says that even if the beer there still is kedusha shvias, okay, beer is its own din. Even if you did beer, you still have kedusha shvias, and therefore they would hold the opposite of what I just told you. You can't export it. You can't just give it to random people, etc. Okay, so the Chazon Ish has, if you read different parts of the Chazon Ish, he says like the Rash or like Tosfos, back and forth which ways. In the Kitzur Hilchos Shmita, there's someone named Rabbi Shapiro who wrote a Kitzur Hilchos Shmita that the Chazon Ish reviewed every part of it. And agreed, you know, thought that was correct. And there it's machmer, like Tosfos, that there's kedusha shvias even if they did beer. Most hashgachas follow that approach and say there's kedusha shvias even if they beer, and therefore they would never export it. And talk about from our side, we in the United States wouldn't take it in. We won't let our stores sell that wine, saying the people who are going to buy it are not going to treat it properly. What happens if you did buy it? What happens if you did buy it? You have the wine. It happens all the time. You went to You didn't go into Sarah's tent. You went to a store that's not seriously certified. And you saw this wine. It had a hefsher on it, a nice Hebrew letters, all kinds of whole thing on it, and you bought the wine. So that wine is kosher. It had beer, because it was Eitzer Besen. And it just has kedusha shvias. So therefore, now that it has kedusha shvias, you have to treat it properly. So you can drink it, and you should drink it, and you can't waste it. You have to then call your rabbi and find out what the rules are for how to treat something kedusha shvias. But in fact, it's kosher. It's perfectly fine. So we're going to stop here. Mention him next time. We'll do number 5 and number 6, which is, I know, out of order.